This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Peak Northwest, an outdoors and travel podcast by the Oregonian and Oregon Live, dedicated to the adventure and exploration of our beautiful Pacific Northwest. I'm Jamie Hale.
And I'm Vicki Connor. Together, we take you to some of the most beautiful and interesting destinations in our region, discussing where to go, what to do, and places to see. And today, we're headed to some of the darkest skies in Oregon, exploring the state's new dark sky sanctuary.
That's right. Oregon is now home to one of the world's largest dark sky places, a 2.5 million acre swath of southern Oregon that is now called the Oregon Outback International Dark Sky Sanctuary. That designation was made by an organization called Dark Sky International, which works to preserve pristine nighttime environments for both ecological and tourism reasons, inviting stargazers to places where there is very little light pollution to get in the way.
That's such a cool name, the Oregon Outback International Dark Sky Sanctuary. I feel like we need a little acronym for that.
OOIDSS?
OIDS.
OIDS. Okay, it could be workshopped, but... it's a very cool thing. So, I mean, this like dark sky tourism is really becoming a thing. And I was talking to some tourism officials down in Southern Oregon last year during the annular eclipse. And they were saying like this dark sky stuff is really big. People are really into it. So they've been working really hard with this organization, Dark Sky International, to get some sort of designation like this. And this dark sky sanctuary is that people seem to be really, really interested in finding places where there's not a lot of light pollution, where they can see the stars. I guess, you know, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, I was about to ask what specifically qualifies a place as dark sky. How specific are we with light pollution when talking about this?
It's a great question. I do not know the answer.
Okay.
If you look at like a light pollution map, and Dark Sky International has one of these, you see, you know, what you'd expect to see in the Portland area along the West Coast. There's a few pockets of dark sky out on the coast and throughout the state. But this like southeast corner of Oregon is like about as dark sky as you can get. So, I mean, we're talking about going out into these places where, you know, they're like the biggest town is Burns or the biggest town is Lakeview. These are really, really small localities. So there's not going to be a lot of light pollution around there. It's a lot of like ranch land and like, you know, nature preserves and places where there's just not a lot of outside light, period. So I know what Dark Sky International does is they go through and they look at like outdoor sources of light and they help, you know, change those in ways that makes it so it's not so polluting. Whether it's putting on timers or, you know, or just, you know, different kinds of light bulbs, but they're working to sort of make those skies darker and darker and darker so that you can go out there and, you know, bring your telescope, you know, peer deeply into the cosmos or watch a meteor shower where you can see a bunch of meteors free of any light pollution. Or just like, I know folks who like have never seen the Milky Way, right? I was with a friend from New York who we went out to the southern coast and saw the Milky Way for the first time, and her mind was blown. And it was so fun to be along with someone for that experience, because they're like, you can see this like with your eyes? And you're like, yeah. Once you get out of the city and you get out of like, you know, populated areas, you can really see a lot.
This is so cool. There's nothing like that moment. I'll just briefly compare it to when I was living in California and we were just up in the desert and you look up and my friend who had brought there from Maryland, it was that mind-blowing experience. I really want to go out and visit this part of Oregon and I haven't been this far southeast. So let's get into where exactly this is because it is quite a far way from Portland.
Yeah. So it's not all the way in the southeast corner, this particular dark sky sanctuary right now. It basically is like the southeastern part of Lake County. So, I mean, that only really makes sense if you're looking at like a county map. But we're talking about like down to the California border, you know, east of Klamath Falls, but west of Burns, and just like the south part of the state. Does that make sense to you, Vicky?
Yeah. How much time have you spent in and around this area, Jamie?
Not a ton. I definitely have been down there. I think I did one trip of a few days specifically kind of in this area. And I know our colleague, Sam Swindler was also down there last year as well. So, you know, it's one of those things you get down there every now and then. If you're from Portland, it's kind of hard to make regular trips too, but it's not. And I think when you talk about there being dark skies, not a lot of cities, it's not to say there's not anything out there. There is in fact quite a lot of stuff to do and see out there.
Do any of the small towns in and around this area jump out or any specifics of stuff you've done in this area?
That's what we're going to get into today. That's the whole point of talking right now. We're going to get into all the stuff. Each individual little thing. I've got about like what are 5 or 6 highlights of this area. Gonna give the rundown of if you want to check out this Oregon Outback International Dark Sky Sanctuary, the OIDS. Here are the spots to do it. Here's what you need to know.
Where do we start?
I want to start at one of my favorite spots up here. This is a place called Heart Mountain, H-A-R-T. Not H-E-A-R-T. Fun fact, just a really quick side note. The ranchers who first like settled this land as like, you know, white settlers did, named it after a heart-shaped brand they had, but they didn't know how to spell heart. They spelled it wrong and they spelled it H-A-R-T. And that's why the mountain's named that way because they couldn't spell and it stuck.
That's a fun Oregon trivia fact.
There's so many dumb place names like this. I'm just like people misspelling stuff or not knowing, and the name just stuck. But Heart Mountain, it's a very cool place. It's this sort of tall desert mountain. I mean, you think of like, you know, sparse sagebrush hills, very arid. It's kind of on the eastern end of this dark sky sanctuary. It's home to an antelope refuge. So this is a place where like these wild herds of antelope roam. And if you're lucky, you can run into them or, you know, better let, you know, spot them with some binoculars or a long lens. But they kind of roam free in this area. It's also home to a campground that has a natural hot spring in it.
Ooh.
So there's like a little sort of built up tub, a little pool, kind of like it's like a natural hot spring area, and they've built these kind of walls up around it. And it's like right there in the campground. So of course, you think about campground hot springs, you can think certain, you know, kinds of folks like to get, you know, up to no good in those places. That I'm sure does happen, but, you know, bring a group of people and be responsible. And it can be a really nice place to soak underneath the stars.
That sounds lovely. I don't know of any like, is this an established campground where you like you make a reservation on recreation.gov type of place?
Now, camping here is free and on a first come, first serve basis. So it's one of those places where it's tough. If you drive all the way out there and there's nowhere to camp, you're out of luck. but if you roll up a little bit early or maybe on a weekday, you'll probably find a place to get there. It's worth noting that a lot of these roads are seasonal. So, you know, this is a good sort of latter half of the year. So like by June, most of them are open and they're passable and that's good. I went up to Heart Mountain in the springtime one year and when the roads had opened and I was trying to hike up to the top of Heart Mountain, a place called Warner Peak, and ran into a lot of snowmelt mosquitoes. Really bad. Ended up getting like seriously like 100 mosquito bites. It was so bad. A really nice sort of off trail bushwhack hike through the sagebrush to get to the peak. You know, it's a real like bring your GPS map and a compass kind of situation. And also bring bug spray and a lot of water. I did not do either of those things, and I had a real bad time about it. But if you're well prepared,
those hats that have a net built in,
you know, or but the thing is, they're biting me through my shirt on my shoulders.
Oh no!
Yeah, it was. They were voracious. But don't let that deter you. Heart Mountain's a really great place, especially kind of after mosquito season, August, September, October, before the snows come again. A really, really nice spot. A little hot spring. Nice little place to camp. Really beautiful dark skies.
Did you say that hot spring had a specific name?
It's just the Heart Mountain Campground Hot Springs, I believe.
That sounds really nice. Do you know how many campsites there are there for those who are willing to venture out to this first come, first serve, maybe wanting to know their odds?
You know, Vicky, it's a great question. I'm looking at the website, the Heart Mountain National Antelope Refuge website, and it doesn't say. Ugh. It does not say.
Well, if you want to play with fate and make your way out there, test your luck, Godspeed.
I will say that one time I went out there to camp, I found a spot, no problem. There are other people there, but it was pretty easy. This is, again, these are places that people don't go that often. We talked about camping on this episode today. We're not talking about your Fort Stevens campground. And I know that us talking about it, people are tempted to say, well, now it's going to be overcrowded. Now everyone's going to go out there. It's not. That's not true.
It is a haul to get out here.
It's a real, real drive. So Heart Mountain, a great stop, but only the first one.
Yeah.
This next place is one that I have not been to, but I have been dying to go there. I was trying to scheme a trip out to Summer Lake Hot Springs for so long. Sam Swindler beat me to it. She got the story out there. I was so happy she did because she brought back such a great story and such good photos. But this is another hot spring location nearby. It's kind of off the shore of Summer Lake, which is one of these like shallow alkali lakes. So these like, you know, this whole area used to be this like sort of a big ancient lake. And since then, since the climate has dried and dried and dried over the millennia, it's just sort of this like seasonal lake that is very salty. It's really good for migrating birds, but it's not like a lake you're going to go swim in or anything. But there are some really nice hot springs off of that. And Summer Lake Hot Springs used to have sort of a place where you could go soak for the day, stop by, pay a little bit of money, soak for the day, but they have changed that. It's now only open for overnight guests. The good news is they have some pretty good accommodations at Summer Lake. So they have many different cabins. They've got a few rental houses, and they have a bunch of space for tent camping and RV camping. And if you're staying overnight, you can soak in any of their three outdoor pools or their indoor soaking pool when it is open. And this is a place where like, if soaking under the stars is specifically the thing you want to do, Summer Lake Hot Springs is the place you're going to want to do it.
Name a dreamier like evening activity in the summer. Wow.
I can't. That's it. That's the one.
These cabins look super cute. It says like, you know, bring your own bath towels and your own bedding. Also to note, well-behaved pets are welcome. So
I mean,
too good. Stella, the stars, soaking, goodness.
Oh boy, that's all you need in life.
Yeah. Wow. Now I have another thing to add to my summer bucket list here.
Well, if you are thinking like, this is a great place to stay, I wish there was another great place to stay. Boy, you're in luck because there's a fire lookout that is also within the boundaries of the sanctuary that does also look very remote, but very cool as well.
Yeah. I have not yet stayed at a fire lookout. Jamie, have you?
No, look, I have booked a fire lookout twice. I've booked two different fire lookouts before. I've never stayed in one.
What has happened?
One of the times it was COVID. You know, I booked it in like January 2020. And they came around and said, look, we're closing it. I get it. you know, that time of year, that it made sense. The first time, I think back in 2018 or so, I booked a fire lookout. And after I booked it, they said, well, we're renovating it and we have to cancel like all the reservations for the summer.
Ugh.
So it was a bummer. But I kind of feel like at this point, like once you've tried twice and failed, I'm sure maybe a third time's a charm, but it just hasn't, it hasn't come up. So I have not yet done it.
I take it that neither of those times, it wasn't Drake Peak Lookout, was it?
No, it was not.
So maybe this is the lucky one.
Maybe so. I was telling you, Vicky, because this is a time of year where I'm not going to be able to get out there and do it. But I definitely think you should try to make this trip happen.
I would love to. I need to set an alarm on my phone and try to snag one of these reservations. I think right now it's like booked out up until, you know, late September-ish time. Or maybe it's late August, getting into September. Anyway, you know, towards the end of the nice weather. So I need to get on that.
They release these on a 6-month rolling window, right? So it's you know, for like right now, you know, as we're recording this on March 22, you can book it through 6 months from now. Of course, people can book it for multiple days for like, you know, a couple days from now, but you kind of, to book a fire lookout, the game is, yeah, waking up every morning, trying to be the first one on there, and just booking it. If you can be flexible with your dates, then it's easy to make it happen. If you have to have specifically like a weekend, then it's going to be a lot more difficult, a lot more competitive. But we should say the Drake Peak Lookout, specifically, very cool spot. So this is built at the crest of the Warner Mountain Range. The Warner Mountains go from like Southern Oregon down into California. This is at 8,222 feet high. So really far up there, and offers a 360-degree view around Southern Oregon into California, into Nevada. It's one of these historic lookouts. So a lot of these historic lookouts are made available to the public to rent as long as they're in decent shape. But it is, you know, obviously pretty rustic conditions, right? So, I mean, this is not, you're not going to find your AC or your flush toilet. No one's bringing you a meal. You are camping in a structure, in the wilderness, essentially.
Yeah. It looks like there's a wood burning stove to keep you warm if it gets chilly at night. Sometimes the wood is stocked. Sometimes you got to bring your own, you know, it is pretty rustic.
There's a vault toilet on the site, which is really nice, that you've got, you know, somewhere to go. But it's like, yeah, bring your water, bring your wood, bring your food. Bring everything in if you're going to go up there. But I can only imagine, like, if you want to see like to the horizon, if like, you know, some like, you know, cosmic stuff, it has to rise over the horizon at a certain time, or it's, you know, lower here and there. If you've got that kind of view, you can see everything. And bring your telescope. Speaking of bringing things, and see some cool stuff out there. My God, I can only imagine how good that is.
I personally, I'm imagining the sunsets from this lookout.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to have my tripod, get my camera, maybe do like some type of time-lapse action. I can't imagine how beautiful it'll be.
Man. So Drake Peak Lookout, another one of these great places to stay. We've kind of hit the big ones here. So these are kind of like the big three when I think about like the nice things to do and see there. But there are a few other spots worth mentioning. So we're talking about those big, shallow alkali lakes like Summer Lake. There's another one there called Lake Ebert. And it's a pretty big lake, but it is one of these ones that for various reasons is like quickly disappearing. So it's sort of turning into more of like a salt flat than anything, which is bad news ecologically for the species that survive there. This is not a lake where you're going to go do anything there, but there is a little, like a little sort of pullout there at Lake Ebert where you can, you know, look at the lake. There's some, you know, some signs and all that, but not really anywhere to sort of camp or walk around or do much of there. So I don't totally recommend this as like a place to do a bunch of stargazing, but I do think it could be a cool location if you just want to pull off the road, you know, after dark and you want to have somewhere, this is a spot you could do it.
And how close is this? Like, what's the nearest town to this?
So when we're talking about all of this stuff, this whole Dark Sky Sanctuary, the nearest town is going to be Lakeview. Lakeview, it's a pretty small town. It's population like roughly 2,500. There's a few hotels in Lakeview, which is really nice. I've stayed in one of them before. There's a smattering of restaurants and a Safeway grocery store that I know of as having a really iconic sort of rootin' tootin' cowboy sign. Like this, the sign for the Safeway is like within this like very large cowboy figure, like, you know, sort of like pistol toting cowboy. Very fun. But Lakeview, that's sort of the main town of this area. It's still a ways away from Klamath Falls. It's a ways away from Bend or from Burns. It's kind of, you're kind of, you know, pretty isolated out there.
Yeah. And like just looking at the map, you know, it's such a huge area. And then just knowing that there's like this one tiny town and nothing else is kind of crazy. Jamie, what other campgrounds are around in this area? What options do we have?
You actually have a bunch of options. So the Fremont Winema National Forest, that might be Wynema. I can't actually, I've never heard it said aloud. This is a national forest that sprawls mostly into sort of Klamath County to the west, but they've got a few campgrounds within the sanctuary, kind of in the northern part of the Warner Mountains, kind of where Drake Peak is. There's, you know, Deep Creek Campground, Willow Creek, Mud Creek, Can Springs, V Lake. These are all these sort of little, like, you know, again, like free, first come, first served, very little used sites, pretty rustic conditions. You're not going to find a lot of amenities there. You're probably not going to find a lot of other people there. If that's the kind of thing that freaks you out, stay in a hotel in Lakeview. But if you're looking for like a place to camp where you're not going to see anyone, you can have the whole place to yourself, a good spot to do it. You know, I will say, you know, while you don't have that sort of panoramic view that you have at Drake Peak, you know, nothing like, you know, making a campfire and looking up at the stars through the trees. You know, that's like a whole other kind of experience. Going to sleep out there in sort of the quiet of nature. That's just such a beautiful opportunity.
I feel like whenever I'm out in any type of dark sky area, I'm always trying to, you know, do some type of star photography. Again, set up the tripod, you know, get that long exposure, see, you know, can I eventually make some type of image where it's all swirly and cool looking? That's my prerogative. If I'm going out to a dark sky sanctuary, I'm going to get some sweet images, whether I'm at this campground, whether I'm at the hot springs or whatever, I'm going to make some cool photos.
So, I mean, you've talked about, yeah, having interest in going out here, doing this. We talked about trying to book Drake Peak, but like what else that we've talked about strikes your fancy?
You know, if I don't have luck with Drake Peak, you know, going out to just some of these other campgrounds and, you know, I don't need a fire lookout to have a good time. but definitely the hot springs, obviously. I think, honestly, just making it to a hot spring out in this area is something that's been on my list for a while, whether it be this one or something further east. But, you know, dog-friendly hot springs at Summit Lake, super cool.
That's hard to beat. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm a Summer Lake guy. Like that's calling my name. Having just a little bit of amenities, nothing like super fancy, but like having somewhere to sleep that's comfortable, having the hot springs. It's the soaking in the springs at night that really does it for me. I've done that like at Brighton Bush Hot Springs. It's an incredible experience. I just love sort of like that. You see sort of like the heat, the mist coming off the springs.
Yeah.
You know, into sort of the nighttime air, and you know, you see like maybe the shapes of like a deer walking past, or the stars just out and so bright and shining. I mean, that's just such a great experience. So relaxing. It's like you're relaxing and you're also in this state of awe. Because I feel like a lot of times when you get enter into these states of awe with nature, it's like, you know, hiking up to this big vista, or like, you know, doing some activity to get to like a viewpoint. But I love sort of just the kind of easy way to just slip into that state of experiencing awe in a really relaxing way. where you can sort of soak it in a bit better.
It just, it sounds so peaceful. Truly delightful. So, Jamie, remind me again how recently this was designated as Oregon Outback International Dark Sky Sanctuary.
This is super, super recent. So this was just on Monday, March 11th. So as we record this, you know, less than 2 weeks ago. But this is also an ongoing project. So there are plans already afoot to expand the Oregon Outback International Dark Sky Sanctuary into the southeast corner of Oregon. So again, right now it's about 2.5 million acres in all within Lake County. They are looking to expand this across Harney County and Malheur County to an 11.4 million acre sanctuary, which is huge.
That's insane.
So, I mean, like this is already the biggest dark sky sanctuary, which is just a designation that Dark Sky International uses for this kind of thing. It's already the biggest one in the world. So this, when they expand it to 11.4, if that happens, I mean, that's hard to top. I think it just speaks to the quality of dark skies that we have in that part of the state, that sort of Great Basin area in Southeast Oregon, Idaho, Nevada. That area is just so, so perfect for these kinds of activities and this kind of experience.
And so with that designation, does that kind of, once it is the sanctuary, does that limit development in the area that might produce light pollution?
It's a great question, and one that they have not really explained. This is something that I'm curious in as we sort of continue to work on this. You know, I got a question from a reader that was like, how does this impact industry? Because this is also an area that's really big for like lithium mining. Is that going to have an impact in this? And I'm not entirely sure. But, you know, it's something where like, you know, there's not going to be a lot of huge population centers moving in order to create like a lot more light pollution. I feel like you'd have to have huge development. And I just don't see that happening anytime soon in this particular part of the state. It's a rough and rugged area to live. Mm-hmm. That's why there's, you know, the biggest town in this area has 2,500 residents. it's very remote and the conditions can be hard. So, I don't think everyone's rushing to go out there except on, you know, dark sky tourism. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly why I think they're trying to make these kinds of designations to encourage people to go out there, support that local economy a little bit more, and visit some of these places that really get underutilized.
Man, as if I needed more things to get out and see this summer.
Well, thankfully, it's like kind of a big part of your job to do that.
I know. Sometimes I have to have those like reality checks with myself. I'm like, oh, I don't have to like find availability in this campsite for a specific weekend. Like I can make this a job assignment. Not to brag if you're listening out there, you know, from your desk job. Yeah, hopefully I can make it out there this summer.
Yeah. The privilege of traveling on the weekdays makes everything easier.
For sure. For sure.
Well, I'm excited to hear if you're able to get out there. I'm excited to get back out there again at some point. Got to book a trip to Summer Lake Hot Springs. That's what I'm looking for.
For sure.
Well, folks, that will do it for us today. Until next time, you can watch our videos on the Oregonian's YouTube channel and view all of our travel and outdoors coverage on oregonlive.com/travel, as well as hereisoregon.com.
Please leave us a rating or review if you enjoy the show. And if you want to support this podcast as well as our local journalism, please consider a subscription to Oregon Live. You can find details at oregonlive.com/podsupport. Also, if you're a fan of the show and you're interested in potentially sponsoring it, you can get in touch with our marketing people at advertise@oregonian.com. This episode of the show was produced by me, Vicki Connor, alongside Jamie Hamm.
Stay safe and happy travels, everyone. Until next time, we leave you with this 10 seconds of Zen.